course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your hosts, Dave, joined as always by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. You know, living the dream, trying to stay away from those zombies, those undead.
That's right. That's right, because today we are reviewing the movie We Bury the Dead. That's coming up later in the show. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Nothing really crazy this week. I'm trying to think if I actually did watch anything. Oh man, I don't think so. Honestly, I watched some non-horror stuff.
Yeah, me too. Nothing horror for me,
which is weird.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Nothing horror related this week. So, okay, a very I don't know, lackadaisical open there, but that's okay. Let's move on.
Stomp the co-host.
And it is time for our first installment of Stomp the Co-host for 2026. This is our horror trivia game where Ike and I have identical horror trivia card decks. We draw two cards, which is four questions total, and we alternate answering the questions until a winner is determined. If there's a tie at the end of the four questions, we continue on until a winner is determined. And just for the record, Ike is a three-time defending champion, having won our yearly titles in 2023, 2024, and 2025. So let's hope that maybe 2026 is the year of Dave, but if past history says anything, it is not. But Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I sure am.
All right. Well, you're going to get the first question. Your first question is, what breed of dog is Cujo?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm trying to remember what Cujo even looks like. It's been so long since I've seen the movie. I don't know. Was he a Saint Bernard?
He was a Saint Bernard.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Little quick pull out of the pocket for the first question. But all right, very good. Well, I'll get you your first question here.
All right.
All right. This HBO TV series was based on the novels by Charlene Harris, featuring a telepathic waitress named Sookie Stackhouse.
I don't know. I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. I give.
So I didn't know this either, but it's True Blood.
True Blood? Is
yeah,
about
True
a tele.
Blood.
Oh.
I think it features a telepathic waitress, but I think it's about vampires, if I recall correctly.
I've never watched True Blood, so I don't have any idea, but yeah, I wouldn't have known that much detail about it. So, well, balls. All right. There is your second question. What Spanish?
Good start.
Here's your first question. Our second question, excuse me. What Spanish, and it has quote unquote, found footage film centers on a reporter and her cameraman trapped in a building whose occupants show animalistic and murderous behavior.
I think it's just REC, isn't it?
Yes, that is correct.
Yep, they actually got remade into an American film called Quarantine that has the girl from Dexter, the sisters in that one. So, Jennifer Carpenter, I think her name is. But yeah, it's a good movie.
And just like that, I'm down 2-0.
Well, I think you're going to pick one up here. What 1986 horror movie features cameos from Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons?
That is a Trick or Treat.
Yep. Trick or Treat. Not to be confused with Trick or Treat.
Yes, that's right. It's a different film.
Very different.
Okay, here is your third question. Kevin Bacon stars in what 1990 film about a group of people fighting for survival against giant worm-like monsters hungry for flesh?
Oh, Is that Tremors?
That is Tremors.
Good old Tremors. All right. Your third question. Which actor asks, "You mean there are snakes out here this big in the movie Anaconda?"
Well, not 100% sure, but I'm gonna just take a guess. Is it Ice Cube?
It sure is.
All right. I'm still alive, but you have to miss this one for me to have a chance
That I do.
to tie you. Wait, yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Here we go. Your final question. What Rolling Stones ballad is sung by the demon Azrael as he possesses bodies in the Denzel Washington film Fallen?
I'm probably I don't know if this is a song, but I feel like it would make sense. Is it Painted Black?
That is a song, but that is not the correct one. It
Okay.
is Time Is On My Side.
I feel like Painted Black would make more sense. But
Perhaps.
who am I? Who am I? But
All right. So here's my last question. If I get it right, we get to continue. If not, I lose again.
all right. What kind of powers do the scanners possess in the 1981 film Scanners?
What kind of powers?
Yeah. It's just like a general, like the type of powers.
What is it, telekinesis?
Telekinetic, telepathic is the two options on the card. So I will accept telekinesis.
Okay. Woo. All right. Well, looks like we're going into overtime.
Going into overtime. So we both draw a card and then we ask
And
both questions, and then whoever comes out at the other end of that is the winner, right?
that is correct.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Your next question. Who is considered to be Hollywood's first scream queen?
I'm gonna say Janet Leigh.
That's not correct. They have Jamie Lee Curtis on here.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I would argue that a bit, I guess, but I don't know. That's what they
Fair
say.
enough. I'll take it. Jamie Lee Curtis is an icon.
That's right.
All right. So here is your first question in overtime. What snack is Tallahassee searching for in Zombieland?
Well, he's looking for Twinkies.
He surely is.
Uh-oh, I don't know how to play in the lead here.
Okay.
All right, your next question in overtime. And to continue on to send this, oh my Lord, I'm in that position. You either get it right or I win. Oh Lord. How was Jason Voorhees brought back to life in Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives?
Jason lives. So that would be he was stabbed to the chest with that stake and then electrocuted. Lightning.
Yeah, it says lightning electricity, so correct.
All right. So now we're 1-1 in overtime. So you get this question right. That means you are starting off the year
Oh.
with a W.
Oh my, okay.
Okay. The serial killer in Scream wears a mask inspired by which Edvard Munch painting?
What is that one called? Is it ooh, I think it's just called The Scream.
It sure is.
Right. Holy shit.
Starting off strong.
I don't believe in the history of this game. Have I ever been up? Have I ever led?
And today, the first month of 2026, you are now leading us 1-0.
One down, 11 more to go.
That's right, one down, 11 more to go.
2026, the year of Dave.
The year of
That's right.
the
Yeah. The year of the douchebag.
dragon.
All right. So, well, there we go. Stump the co-host in the books for January. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. Spreading the news. Spreading the news.
All right, and welcome back with the news. So we are starting us off here. Black Phone 2 will be available on Peacock beginning January 16th. Yeah, we have a whole episode about Black Phone 2, so make sure you guys go check that out. Definitely generally positive reviews. So definitely good stuff there.
Yeah.
Obviously excited for it to be on streaming. Love the quick turnaround on these. Be a good 1-2 punch for Black Phone 1 and Dose.
Yeah. I actually saw it in the store yesterday in physical media that it was out. So, and hey. It's been obviously been out on video on demand for a while, but yep, now here it is hitting streaming. And yeah, I'll give it another watch.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. We'll give it another watch, see if we missed anything. It's always a fun time. But all right, that's all of our news. We're going to jump now into some birthdays. Got a couple here. The January 8th, 1981, we have Genevieve Padalecki, of course, known for her role in Supernatural. She's done some other stuff, but, you know, she's also married to Jerry Padalecki, the lead of the show. I believe she played, did she play Ruby or Meg? She was Ruby, right?
She was Ruby, yeah.
See, I just did a whole rewatch, and I already forgot. I was like, is it Ruby? But, yeah, I like the original Ruby better, but Genevieve is still pretty good.
Yeah, I like her. Yeah, she's pretty funny. I think her best episode is the one, I can't remember what it's called. What a Horrible Night or something like that, where they're in the alternate, where they're plucked into this thing without their memories, and it's like, back this up. That's not the right one. It is the one where they're thrown through the glass. It's French Mistake. And where they're thrown into like the alternate world, where
Supernatural's and they get thrown show. Into the universe where Supernatural's a TV show, right?
Yeah, and she just plays herself. And
yeah, I got you.
She's pretty funny in that.
Yeah, because I remember in that universe, Jared and Jensen hate each other, so they don't like talk ever.
Yeah, that's the big running joke is, well, at least they're talking.
Right, at least they're talking. That's funny. But all right, well, happy birthday, Genevieve, or I think they call her Jen in the show, so we'll call you Jen as well.
That's right.
We're friends now.
That's right. That's right. She better introduce me to Jared.
That's right. But very good. Happy birthday. Now we're going to jump to our obligatory January 12th birthday here. January 12th, 1965, Rob Zombie, of course, known for his roles and not roles, but directing and creation of House of Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and Halloween. Yeah, I mean, we have our opinions about Rob Zombie, but obviously Rob Zombie is very important to the, the pop culture zeitgeist of horror. And, you know, he's very entwined with a lot of that stuff. And, you know, for better or for worse, you know, he remade Halloween. So that obviously puts him on the books. And, you know, House of Thousand Corpses isn't bad. Not a fan of Devil's Rejects, nor have I seen Three from Hell. Or he made another one like called 31 or something like that I never got to see. But in any case, yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't hate him. It's just we're not big fans.
Yeah, no, I don't hate. I appreciate, you know, that he does a lot for horror, but he's just not my thing. I much prefer, like I've said before, Rob Zombie as a musician than a filmmaker, but it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. But happy birthday, Rob. Hope you're doing good, Mr. Zombie. And now we're going to jump now to our last birthday. This is a good one, of course, January 13th of 1966. We have Patrick Dempsey, of course, known for his role in Scream 3, Thanksgiving. Hopefully the next Scream movie, he's got a little cameo or something. And then hopefully we get that Thanksgiving 2 either this year or next. And hopefully he's in that one as well. I think that'll turn out pretty good.
Yeah, he's definitely supposed to be in the Thanksgiving 2. I mean, he's listed in it.
Yeah.
Supposedly not in the next Scream. They've recast him with, I can't remember who it was, somebody else, but which I'm like, eh. But I think it was because of conflict. I think it was because of Thanksgiving 2, maybe.
But, okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't think, whatever was his name, Mark, or in Scream, I don't think he has a very big role. That's kind of my gut, so.
Yeah, it's like, I think he got recast by Joel McHale.
Yeah,
but I don't
yeah.
think, I don't think it's the same character. I think it's a different character with the same name. If I had to guess, just because
Oh, so
in
Sydney's
the
remarried?
I think so. I don't know, because when you watch the trailer, it's Joel McHale and he's wearing like a blue police outfit or like a security guard outfit or something. If I'm assuming that he is the person that we're talking about, but I'm pretty sure he is from what I can tell. But if I remember correctly, Dempsey was a detective in the original Scream 3, so he was like he wore a suit. He wouldn't wear like what a normal cop would wear.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I guess we'll
I
find out.
digress. Yeah, I was gonna say we'll find out here in about a month, right? It comes out in February, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Well, there you go. So we'll let you guys know what happens next month. We'll have more to come on that. Very good. But all right, we got some movie anniversaries. We're gonna start us off strong here on January 8th, 1993. We got the Leprechaun. Obviously, Leprechaun's great. At some point, we should definitely do like a Leprechaun episode, just review all those.
Oh yeah. Ooh.
That'd be fun. But the first one's great. I think the first
Oh
one's
yeah.
honestly so good. Even though it's campy and cheesy, it is a very fun movie. And I mean, if you can't have fun with the movie, then what's the point? But no, absolutely, I love Leprechaun. Jen Affleck's into not Jen Affleck. Well, I mean, she was Jen Affleck at one point, right? Jennifer Aniston.
Anderson.
Yeah, she was married to Affleck, wasn't she?
I don't think so. She's married to Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt? Was it Jennifer? No, it was Jennifer Lopez that I was with Affleck.
It's too weird, Jennifer's to get confused, but
It is, considering one of them is Hispanic and sings, and one isn't.
one's from the block, one's not.
Right, Jenny from the book. Amen.
Do not like Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I can't get on board with her acting. I mean, her singing, whatever. I'm not like a huge Jennifer Lopez fan. I'm not going out of my way to listen to her. But at the same time, I can appreciate that she had some pop culture relevance at some point. But her acting, I don't know. She was in a movie with I can't remember who the fuck it was, but it was some random like romance movie. I can't remember what it was even about.
Yeah, I don't know. And don't get me started on how I suspect she had I don't know, at least some knowledge of some P. Diddy stuff at one time. Don't get me started about that, but.
Oh man, I didn't know that. I mean, I guess it makes sense that she would have been pretty high up in the
Well, she
music food chain.
Yeah, I think she dated P. Diddy at one time or something. I don't know, whatever. This is not that kind of podcast, but
This is not the P. Diddy podcast.
no. And so yeah, wrong Jennifer though. It's Jennifer Aniston and Leprechaun. Never married Affleck. So, but yes, Leprechaun, very fun movie.
I just thought of it. I think the reason I said Jen Affleck is I'm pretty sure there's a woman in the show Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and her name is Jen Affleck.
I wouldn't
I
know.
don't no relation to Ben. That's an ongoing
Boy,
joke.
this is a very wild rabbit hole we've gone down, caused by Leprechaun.
They're right. They very, very wild, but anywho,
We're the
moving
only,
on.
it's the only podcast that somehow connected Leprechaun to Secret Lives of Mormon Wives somehow.
Right. We gotta slip it in there somehow. But
I guess. I don't know.
very good. Then let's see, where was I at? I'm all discombobulated, but okay, here we go. January 13th of 1989, we have Pumpkinhead. Okay, so Pumpkinhead, love this movie, but of course we actually talked to somebody from another movie, and I always forget the name of the movie and the guy, but he loved this movie, but he only saw like half of it
Yeah, it
for a
was
long time.
what was his name? Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Well, from oh man, what was that movie? Damn it. I don't
Sam
get it.
Matt Sampier, right?
Yeah, it was that one. It was around Halloween time. And shit, it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was
I can even picture the thing because it had like one of those jack-o'-lantern candle holders with the camp, and it was like scratch lettering. I don't know.
yeah, I can't remember what it is. It's like
I apologize, Matt.
yeah, I mean, at least we remembered his name.
We reviewed the movie.
We did.
And it was a good movie. It was a fun movie. And jeez, whatever. But yeah, he loved Pumpkinhead, or at least half of it.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. At least he liked the half of it, but no, yeah, I love Pumpkinhead though. I remember I rewatched it a couple months ago. And I mean, it still holds up pretty decent. I mean, especially for a movie from '89, and it's kind of in that transitionary period from the '80s and '90s. It still holds up pretty good. So, definitely like that.
Yep, I agree.
But very good. So we're gonna jump now to January 14th of 1981. We actually just talked about this in the trivia,
Oh,
but
yeah.
we have Scanners. So Scanners, I've never seen the movie. I know the iconic scene where the guy's head explodes, but I've never seen the movie Scanners. So that's
Yeah, fun movie.
all I know, I mean, based off of our conversation, is that they have telepathic powers. That's it.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I advise anybody to watch it. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% a fun movie. Not that I've seen it, but if heads are exploding, it's got to be a fun movie. But all right, one last movie anniversary here. We got January 14th, 2022. We have Scream. Obviously, this is the first of this most recent trilogy of Scream movies.
Yeah.
This introduced a lot of those,
The core four.
the core four. Yeah, which was Jenna Ortega, Melissa Barrera, and then the two, like the twins. I always forget. Jasmine Savoy Brown's one of them, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Mason Gooding.
Yeah, Mason Gooding. But yeah, so I mean, they're all of them are great. We got to see them in two movies, and then now we're only going to get to see the twins, which is still a good thing. I still would love to see them, but I am sad that the Carpenter sisters are no longer in the series. But yeah, Scream was great. I think it was a really, really good requel, as they call it.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, we got a full review in the archives, but yeah, this is essentially Scream 5.
Yes.
So, but yeah, they just called us Scream for, but yeah, it's a fun movie. It's pretty good.
Absolutely. But very good. And then last thing here for our news section, we have an upcoming release. Obviously, got to have at least one. But Primate is coming to theaters on January 9th, and it is described as a group of friends' tropical vacation turns into a terrifying primal tale of horror and survival. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Now, here's the deal. I'm not opposed to animal-related horror, as it were, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the monkey being evil. I like monkeys a lot, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean it we'll see. We'll see how they do it, how they approach it. But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Could
We
be
shall
fun,
see.
could be not fun. We'll know next episode.
That's right. We will know next episode. But all right, we are going to take a quick break, as that does conclude our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. But when we come back, we will have our official review of We Bury the Dead.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, and we're back here and listen to Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing We Bury the Dead. Written and directed by Zach Hilditch, starring Daisy Ridley, Brenton Thwaites, Mark Cole Smith, and others. It was released January 2nd in theaters. It grossed $2,502,075 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number 11. Peculiar name, We Bury the Dead, because it's, I get, because it's like, I guess it's because of, I just like, I don't want to give a lot away. That's, I guess it's because of the what they're doing and the job function they're doing in the movie. I guess that's what that references
Yeah.
to. I guess seems, I mean, it's okay.
I think the name could have been different.
Yeah, I mean, it's catchy, but it's like, doesn't really tell you much about the movie, but that, whatever, it's okay. I mean, I guess it does again. That's what the job they're having in the movie. I mean, I guess it's, you know, the movie, the description, like there's this military disaster that kills a lot of people, and some of those people killed rise again. What is it they say? Ah, man, what is it they say in the movie? How they phrased it weirdly, uniquely. They don't say they rise. What is it they say?
Yeah, they come back online is what they say.
Yeah,
right?
That's it. Yeah. And so that's the background of the movie. Daisy Ridley's character is searching her husband, who was caught up in this area, and it gives some background to her and her husband. And to do that, or what she thinks will get her to there, she takes on a job, which is how she meets the other guys that are primarily, it's primarily mainly the three actors are the primary characters. There's obviously lots of others, but and it's about her trying to get to her husband. And yeah. So it is a different approach to quote unquote zombies. It is there is one characteristic of the zombies in this movie when they get agitated, and as they get more agitated, it gets worse. That just really unnerved me. It really
it did.
Oh, because I hate it anyway. This is a habit that a lot of people have. I'm not going to say it because it's you have to experience it as you watch the movie. But that was a very nice thing to key in on to really raise the tension for me. It worked with me at least. But I thought it was a pretty good movie. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a unique, again, it's kind of a unique approach to zombies, which is very difficult to do. Right, there's so many zombie movies and shows and whatever else. You know, it's hard to come up with an angle that's kind of unique or that kind of different. And in this one, I felt, you know, it's not like it's retelling the mythos of zombies, but it is giving it a kind of a fresh look, a fresh take. And it's kind of, I don't know, you watch it and you kind of think, I don't know, this doesn't feel like such a stretch. You never know, right? What would, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to suspend a little reality, but it's like this is not so outlandish and ideal that that you get lost in any, you know, preposterousness or whatever the word is of it. So it was a little slow moving in a couple parts, and I will say this is not really a spoiler, but I kind of had hoped for a little more zombie action in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, especially eventually, but you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because I'm so trained by The Walking Dead. You know, you see a zombie movie, you want some more zombie action, right? You want, and I think it could have used a little more of that, but there was some there. And it, you know, I think it focused mostly on the character story and developing. As zombies truly weren't the key proponent of the thing. It was more a story building characteristic. So, but it was fun. It was good. There was some, you know, tense parts, some scary parts. The zombies were fucking creepy. I will give, you know, they look creepy. They behaved creepy. The way they built certain aspects of the zombie and revealed some information about them was pretty creepy. And of course, Daisy Ridley, I love Daisy Ridley. She was great in it. So yeah, it was, again, not a groundbreaking movie, but it was a fun movie, a passable movie, an acceptable movie. One that I would watch again if it were, you know, if I come across it. I don't know how much I would seek it out, but it's not that I would be opposed to rewatching it. You know, but it's, I don't know. There's not to me, you know, it's got a fresh take, but there's not so much to me that I'm going to sit here and say, oh, this is genre breaking. But they did a good job though of, you know, being unique and not being the same old thing. So Ike, what did you think of We Bury the Dead?
Absolutely. So, definitely, I agree with most of what you said. I think for the most part, the whole concept of, you know, the zombies and everything else, it was a little bit different than the typical zombie, you know, the virus or, you know, disease or voodoo or whatever. This is definitely more of a, I guess, scientific, maybe? Like, I don't even want to say scientific. It's not your typical zombie, right? These guys aren't getting bit or infected by some virus. There is an entirely different process to turning them into a zombie or a reanimated corpse in this case. I guess maybe a little bit different or better clarification. And like you said, there's basically different levels, and they kind of go over this in the movie, different levels of like the reanimation process, different levels of like agitation and everything else. So the movie does a really good job of kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of all that. Like basically, hey, like this is why they are this way, this is how they got to this point. And they did it in such a way that it was entertaining, right? It didn't feel like exposition for exposition's sake. It felt important to the movie because we were learning about these people, these undead, at the same time that the people in the movie were learning about them. So it was very intriguing to kind of see that process of like, you know, hey, point A to point B, this is why this is happening. Now this is why it's happening. So I did like that because sometimes with zombie movies, they just kind of jump in like neck deep, right? And they don't really give much of an explanation for anything. And that's definitely something that I think a lot of zombie movies suffer from, because sometimes it's okay to have no explanation about why you got zombies. But sometimes, unless you are starting like, you know, halfway through the apocalypse, it's usually better to have like some kind of explanation or, supposition as to why we are here, right? So I do like that they gave us that. They gave us a reason, right? They gave us, hey, this is why this happened. This is what's happening with these people, and this is what is going to happen if they are not put down in an appropriate amount of time. So I like that. The movie overall, I think you said it was a there were a, two parts I can think of that did kind of lull, like get a little like dragging. And I do think it could have been maybe spiced up with some more zombie action, like you mentioned. But I understand that it's not your typical zombie movie. This is more of a drama that kind of takes place in a zombie movie, if that makes sense. It's more about the human aspect, the human interaction, than it is about the undead or the reanimated or back online people. So I understand why they kind of did it the way they did it. Daisy Ridley was obviously great. And like you said, there are a lot of really creepy, like just gruesome things that happen. And it's these Aussie movies, I'm telling you. I mean, this movie did it. The, Bring Her Back did it. Talk to Me did it. I don't know what it is about Aussie filmmakers, but they just have a very unique way of getting under your skin. And yeah, this is a perfect example of that. And then, honestly, I would say that this movie also, and I forgot to say it earlier, kind of gives a logical and realistic example of something that could potentially happen in real life. Not to say it will, but I mean, if somebody told me tomorrow that something like this happened, I'd be like, oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's why I said it's like, you have to suspend a little reality, but it's like, yeah, you watch it, it's like, oh yeah, I don't know, fucking, I could see this shit show happening. It doesn't
Exactly.
feel like that much of a stretch. I mean, who fucking knows? I mean, especially the military, the military accident part. Unfortunately, I'm like, yeah, I could totally see that happening, and
No, absolutely. I was gonna say, I mean, you have to think that like 99% of these like movies do involve some sort of like military fuck up, and it's like, hey, like, listen, I'm not trying to blame anybody here, but if somebody said that happened in real life, I'd be like, you know what? That tracks.
I wouldn't be too surprised, but yeah, I mean, and of all the things that we have seen over the years, that are the triggers for zombies or zombie outbreaks, yeah, this one doesn't, a military disaster with whatever it might be and whatever they might be using, yeah, that doesn't seem quite as outlandish as that as some of the, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could also get on board with the virus thing very much because, I could totally see that happening. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like zombies a lot, and like zombie movies and shows. And, so sometimes I think with a zombie, I give it a little bit of a leeway because I'm like, I just like zombies, and I'm looking for something a little different and highlights. So, but I don't think I'm being lenient with this because I'm not saying I over the top love this movie. I think it's a good movie, and I do think it has some freshness and uniqueness to it with the approach, but it definitely has to me its flaws, and I think a good concept, a couple of tweaks. I think it could have been a little better. And, again, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old. I watch a horror movie. I mean, come on, I want to see some horror, right? I really don't hold back on some of the creepiness, the spookiness, the tension, the action, let's don't hold that back. I think you can still have that, still tell a good story. I think there's a better balance. But it's okay. And again, I think this is that type of movie to me that I think once it ends up hitting streaming, I think will probably do pretty well. I think that's probably the audience. I don't know, in my gut, I kind of watched this and thought, yeah, I don't know if this was a theatrical release for me.
Yeah, I honestly, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Not to say it was bad, right? I don't think it was bad. I just think that it had a limited release as it was. And I don't think that that helped it because, not to say it's a bad thing, right? Because limited releases are great. I mean, Terrifier was a limited release. There's all kinds of movies that end up being limited releases that are great movies. But sometimes you have to be, and perhaps this is the, like, oh, I think I'm an expert coming out, but like sometimes I feel like when you look at movies, you have to kind of say, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to kind of look at it from the perspective of, is this movie going to do well in a box office?
Yeah,
Right?
there's a business side to it.
Well, absolutely, the business side of it. And the business side of it says, you know, regardless of what I personally think about this movie, do I think that this movie is going to draw people in and turn a profit? And I mean, I think it did turn a profit, but you know, I don't know, because obviously Daisy Ridley is a pretty big name. She was in Star
Sure.
Wars, so they probably had to spend a pretty penny on her. And as far as I could tell, none of the other people in the movie seemed to be very big actors,
No,
which is not a bad thing.
they were
They were
talented.
talented,
I
yes,
think they're. I
absolutely.
think I just think. Yeah, they're a little more. What I don't know. I don't want to say inexperienced, but just they haven't got the whatever the resume built up yet. They're just getting going, I think. But
Right. No, absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. They were not bad at all, like you said. I think they're still just kind of, like you said, building up their, you know, repertoire a little bit. But I mean, at the same juncture, it's like they weren't bad in any way, shape, or form. It's just that you had just the one big name actor. So clearly they didn't have a huge budget. So, and that's not a bad thing. It's just you kind of have to weigh out the pros and cons. Like, I feel like this movie would have been done great, like on Shudder. Like you get this
yes.
movie on Shudder, or even you get this movie like on a Peacock or a Paramount or a Netflix, it probably would have done, you know, turned some numbers. But yeah, I don't know. I think obviously it'll come to streaming. I'm very curious who will pick it up, and I think it'll make some more money there for sure.
Yeah, I do too. And I always think about box office and the aspect of does it help horror as a whole? Right, because especially as we just reflected on 2025, especially as like now we're in award season and we are seeing lots of recognition for films like Sinners and Frankenstein, Weapons, which is great. And these movies were monster movies last year, and that is so good for horror. And you see these strong performances, and you think, yeah, this is going to help horror, but then it's also then even limited though. It's like, will a movie like this, will someone look at it and say, oh yeah, but look at this movie. It only did 2.5 million. And so maybe we shouldn't get over, I don't know. Maybe it's not, maybe it won't make that big of an impact, but I'm always afraid that will be the argumentative weapon that someone will they use of, oh, let's be careful. Maybe we shouldn't go with this. Maybe we should just throw out another rom-com. And, I don't know, but I'm guessing probably Daisy Ridley's name and clout is what got them the limited theatrical release, because again, she is a name and a star, like you said. So, But this, yeah, I think this movie probably would have gotten more buzz, more recognition, more discussion had it had a debut on a streaming service. And I think it very well could have gotten even on a Netflix, Peacock, something of that. I think it probably had enough just based on her alone that it could have gotten on one of those. I think it would have got a lot more buzz and recognition and whatever that way. But then again, if it makes a little money in the theaters and they can also have a decent little run of streaming, all right, so be it. It's not that, not that big a deal. I don't think expected this movie to do 50 million. So if they make a little money at the theater and turn a little profit, more power to them. It's, it is what it is. But I just worry because it's, there's so much, so limited screen time nowadays, theater time. Right, we see it more and more. These, movies getting bumped, movies not getting released, movie getting cut back to limited releases. That some of them sometimes end up surprising. That it's like, oh, why'd they make that decision? Because there's only so many screens and there's only so much entertainment money. Because theaters aren't just competing with other theaters now; they're competing with streaming services and video on demand and all these things. The theater at home experience. So you have to be careful of how you pursue that consumer time and dollars. And to me, and again, I'm just nobody, right? We're just guys that just fucking sit around and watch horror movies and talk about them. So I don't know. But to me, I think you could have got a little bit better slice of that consumer pie through a streaming service. But
yes,
so be it. I don't know. I'm not going to argue because I enjoy seeing it on the big screen. And no skin off my nose. That's so it's just my opinion, but whatever the case may be, we got rambling off there on the business side and our opinions on that, but hey, that's okay. That's cool. That's part of the process.
Yes,
so, let's rate this thing. This didn't break any genre, but I think this is enough to warrant for me just that middle of the ground, 3 out of 5 screams. Again, it was an enjoyable movie. Nothing spectacular, not going to make any of my favorite of all time lists, but I'm never going to, this is never going to come up in a discussion of a movie I hated or disliked. So I don't see any reason to put it lower than a 3. I don't really see a reason to put it higher than a 3. And that's kind of my baseline. It's at a 3. Which way are you going to push me from there? And I think this one just held the ground. So I'm just giving it the straight up, right in the middle, 3 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you rating We Bury the Dead?
Well, I think I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to go 3.5. When I first came out of the movie, I was like, obviously you have that initial like, oh, wow, that was this. I initially said it was a 4. But then after some introspection, I was like, it was a really good movie. I did enjoy the different take on the concept of a zombie. So I think for the creativity alone and the attempt that they took, it was an enjoyable movie. Like you said, I'm never going to put this in a conversation of, oh, I hated that movie. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, and one interesting aspect I think we can bring up here, Monica didn't watch the movie. She didn't see the movie. But Kayla did go with you, and Kayla did enjoy it. So
yes,
there is, right? I know Kayla loves horror, right? She's an enthusiast as well. But Kayla has, I don't know, how should we put it? She her tastes aren't as broad as yours and mine in a lot of this. Is that fair to say? Think she has a more, she doesn't like some of the older movies that I like as much. There's just right. Certain aspects that I don't know how I'm gonna phrase this. Right, again, she doesn't have as wide a taste as you and I. Right, there's a lots of horror that you and I like, and a lot of what we like, she would be like, I don't know, it's not my thing. But she did like this movie, so it did have, I don't know. I don't want to say general appeal because, again, I don't label Kayla as just the general movie going audience, because, again, she is more than that. She does love horror. She is what I would dub as a fellow enthusiast. So I don't want to just say she was just a general target for it, because it's not that. But I do think her enjoying it does say something, because, she likes zombies, but she sometimes doesn't have as a forgiving taste as we do, maybe.
I would definitely say that she's definitely a little harsher when it comes to like criticisms on movies. as it pertains to like things that are a little bit more meta, perhaps. You know, because like you and I, we generally enjoy like, you know, we liked In a Violent Nature, we liked Skinamarink. And not to say that this is on the same level of meta as like those movies, but this sort of has that same like air to it where this is not the standard. And typically when something maybe deviates from like the standard or goes above and beyond in some direction like that, you know, Monica and Kayla sometimes don't see it the same way we do it because we give a lot of grace for that artistic expression, and sometimes they don't.
It's peculiar, and I'm not putting them down, but I know you and I a lot of times, and I wish a lot of people did this, right? They go into a movie, and I don't just do this with horror. I do it with about anything. I go into it with a positive view of I'm gonna like this, right? I'm gonna enjoy this, and I want the movie to prove me wrong, not make me like you. I'm not. That's I don't. I don't. I just don't view it that way, right? And if I say this a lot, if I could just find one or two little redeeming things, or one little two little things that I enjoyed about it, I'm like, okay, well, may not have been my favorite of all time, but it had those, so it's not a waste for me, and I don't overlook that. And so, anyway, this whole discussion was a roundabout way of saying, you know, the fact that Kayla enjoyed this movie, I think, does say a little bit something for it,
It
that
does.
it has a little bit wider appeal than just what I would call us, who we just want to gobble up every horror thing we can find. And so yeah, it does. I think it does say a little something for it. So, which is another reason that I think it will do well on a streaming service. So
Yes.
anyway, like we said earlier, next episode we will be reviewing the movie Primate. We have some trepidation about this and the approach. So let's come back next episode and see what we thought of it. We would like to say thank you to our wives and then all of you listeners and followers for everything you do to support the show. And one of the best ways you can support is to be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform that you use in any way, shape, or form. We're out there. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number two in Screams. You will find us. Make sure you follow us, subscribe to us, whatever, like us, whatever it might be. We post lots of our news, our birthdays, our anniversaries, all that stuff. And then we post quite a bit more of that stuff that we don't discuss here on the show. Stuff that's, man, we just don't feel like it's discussion necessarily worthy. We put it up still on social media. We try to help spread the word on things, keep people informed and key in. So lots of fun stuff. Make sure you follow us. Before we get out of here in this episode, Ike, is there anything you want to add?
Oh man, you know, like you said, we'll see how Primate goes next week. I'm hoping that, you know, it's not too bad. You know, not that it's gonna be bad, but I don't know. Sometimes with animal movies, I don't know. I'm a huge animal lover, and I do like animal movies. You know, like your Jaws and stuff like that, Anaconda. But sometimes, you know, animal movies have to be done with a certain grace. So we'll see what we can do. But otherwise, like, you know, like Dave said, just let's keep supporting horror and everything else, and we like, you know, we gobble up everything we can get, so we hope everyone else does the same. You know, I think that we're just gonna have to keep rocking and rolling, and hopefully we'll get to some good stuff, get to some good stuff this year. I know January is gonna be chock full. I know after next week, and I think we have like Silent Hill or Return to Silent Hill, and then
It's
I
Iron
think we
Lung.
have Iron Lung, and then we've got some other stuff coming in
Yes.
February. Scream.
Scream's coming up. Yeah, lots of good stuff coming up. It seems like it's every year, right? January's you're coming out of the holiday high of, you know, there's usually some pretty good movies that come out around that time. And then, you know, you do kind of get that lull in January sometimes where it's not, you know, not a, it's not a doesn't seem to be a major release time. But then it starts picking up. You know, especially as you build the summer and everything. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not prejudging Primate, but you know, it's not one of those that was high on our list of expectations or to look at, but it's
Right.
there and it's what we have to watch. And, you know, and I'm going to go into it, like I said earlier, with an open mind and a make me not like you type deal. And we'll see where we land on it. But, yeah, it is exciting to think of some of the things that we do have coming up, this year, some big stuff, some fun movies. And that's just what we know about so far, right? There's lots that'll still be announced, lots that'll hit Shudder and Screambox and different things. Just it's always a fun time, and every year we say it, right? It's like, ah, that was a great year. You know, it was just a wonderful year for horror. How can it do that again? Or how can it get better? And it just seems like every year it does. It gets a little better. And especially curious to see some of the that horror's getting some really good recognition in these award shows so far. And that's intriguing and very, very exciting. They, you know, Weapons and Sinners and Frankenstein did very well in the Critics' Choice Awards, which is notoriously kind of hard on horror. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty exciting. Always like to see the recognition. So, all right, then let's close this episode out. Like we said, next episode, we'll be reviewing Primate. So make sure you go see that in the theater, support it so that you can opinionate on with us next week. And until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.